Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, what do we got there, Mike V? Tell me the name of that song. I like that. That was your wild card.
That is the Ben Sevenfold. Carry on.
Mike V, give me your announcer voice. Come on, punch it. Give me it.
That would be a Ben Sevenfold. Carry on.
Ah, I know them. Very good, very good. That's a good punch. All right, welcome back. Last segment here with Naib Moran of ESPN FC, Felipe Valenzuela of beIN Sport. And I want to take you guys into this Mexico-U.S. match. You meant something about Jurgen Klinsmann. Carry on that thought, Naib.
Yeah, Glenn, I mean, this is going to be the type of game that are the players with Klinsmann, if they come out all out against Mexico. I mean, it's a perfect chance. Mexico has an interim coach at the moment. We really don't know what they're going to play, what style, whatsoever. Guardado's not 100%, you know, all of these things. How are the players going to act in this game? Are they going to be with Klinsmann or are they not going to be with Klinsmann? And Mexico is going to actually take the win in this one.
All right, here's how I would respond. I would say whether you're with Klinsmann or not probably doesn't matter because you can do it in spite of a coach because of who the rival is. I mean, I don't think from an effort standpoint, everybody knows this is a hugely important match. I think you can do things in spite of coaches sometimes. Guys in national teams trying to carve their positions out are always going to say the right things. That, you know, they love the manager if they're playing or not. I think it's a big question if they're together, but how are they not together for Mexico, Felipe?
You know what? I've been debating a lot, you know, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people, you know, the Mexican national team, you know, I think it's a big mess right now. You know, it's been a mess for the last 8 years, I want to say. You know,
Why is it a mess? They came off a successful World Cup. Miguel revived the team.
But you know what, Miguel? I don't think Miguel Herrera is a good coach. I mean, and he is entertainment. Let's put it that way. I mean, Ricardo Ferretti is a different kind of coach. He's a coach who got the guts to tell the Tudo Santos that they didn't make the trip to play against Argentina. Say, you know what? I don't need you. And if I don't need you, I don't need you. You know, now they are in the final list of 25 players. But, I mean, I do believe if Mexico wants a really good process, it should be like USA. I mean, either you lose or win. I mean, it's a process. How many coaches?
Yeah, but our process is not perfect either.
I know. But, I mean, they stick with the same coach. And they say, you know what? We're going to make this better. You know, and we're going to help you. I mean, in Mexico, it's you lose a couple games and you're done. You're on the hot seat. I mean,
what
are they going to do? My perspective. Let's say Mexico wins. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is Ricardo Ferretti the right coach for the Mexican national team?
I think no.
I do believe he got the gut, like any other coach, to say, you know what? You want to play? Okay, you're gonna earn your spot right here with us. I mean, I don't think, you know, Osorio, who's Osorio? I mean, they're recruiting Juan Carlos Osorio to be the coach for Mexico.
But I don't think Tuca Ferretti wants the job long
term. No, he doesn't want it. Because there's so much controversy in the Mexican national team. I mean, they make this. You have
I think
to
do. He's stepping in because of all his years in Mexico as sort of a short term fix to help guide it as they go through some turbulent waters.
But you know what? Why any coaches from Europe that want to come to be the head coach for the Mexican national team? Why?
Because there's never long term projects.
Correct. Glenn was talking about Sven Goran Eriksson. You know, what did he do? I mean,
he had no clue.
I mean, first of all, the guy, he wanted to learn Spanish. He did, which he did. He did really good. But I mean, there was a bunch of divas in the team. And that's what happened with the Mexican national team. I mean, because some of the players that play in Europe, you know, some of them, they feel like, you know, I'm better than you. And that's not going to happen. Ricardo Ferretti got the guts to say, you know what? You're going to play, you're not going to play, and I don't care. His personality and the practice with Tigres is just like, you do it the right way or you don't play. I mean, and he is furious in a practice. If you've seen him in the field, he gets furious.
Demanding, and he's very professional.
Correct. I mean, so who's the right coach for Mexico? We don't have a clue. We don't, because I don't.
I mean, that's a big question at the moment, and, you know, one of the risks, I mean, it's a risk.
Does that hurt Mexico, Naib, going into this game that Tuca Ferretti is only an interim manager specifically for this game on October 10th?
Well, you know, going to what you said about the U.S.'s side, you know, there's no in spite of the coach or whatever, in spite of the coach, that could be a different thing. It's the U.S. in front of Mexico, and we know the rivalry. They're playing in California, where the fan base, you know, I know that they did some ticketing, you know, draw, whatever, to kind of have it even. But I think there'll predominantly be a Mexican crowd in that stadium, as it was the case in the Gold Cup final that El Tri won 4-2. But I do see them having a lot of energy. I mean, it's a good opportunity to kind of, you know, out of all these dilemmas that have occurred, that, you know, Mexico never does, always stays in the round of 16 match. But the case is that in the last years, Mexico hasn't been able to win against the U.S. and American territory that often. You know, and getting one victory boosts the morale, you know, for the fans and for the players as well.
Well, the good news for Mexico, it's not in Columbus, Ohio.
It's not in Columbus, Ohio.
No, because Mexico always fails in Columbus, Ohio. Always. I mean, because it's cold. Because, I mean, I was there once. I mean, and USA dominate the whole game and everything. I mean, if you want to play, I'm sure, Glenn, you know, in qualifiers for the World Cup and everything, USA is going to play in Columbus again. Like they do every single qualifier.
Well, the U.S. is no different than anybody else. They're going to play it in environments that they think will give them an advantage, as Mexico will play in Azteca. And,
yeah, you know, but I
Azteca,
mean,
by the way, the Azteca mystique has been kind of chipped away.
It has. And I think, but one question I would like to put on the table is the U.S. Mexico game getting too repetitive? In the sense that, you know, we always see it over and over again. And are the teams actually advancing? When we see them on the international stage, both the U.S. and Mexico, does it help them? Like, is the CONCACAF a region where Mexico and the U.S. will ever advance? Because it's so...
But there's not that many competitors. But you know
fair
what?
Question.
But you know what? Mexico-USA is going to generate a lot of money. This is a business, too, for them. I mean, if you ask me if Mexico deserved to win the Gold Cup, no. There's no way. There's no way.
Well, I didn't think anybody played particularly
Costa Rica,
well in the Gold Cup. The U.S.
I mean,
certainly
against
did.
Panama and Costa Rica, please.
Either.
I mean,
Panama
I'm sorry to say
robbed.
This. I mean, they
Panama
got robbed.
I mean, you said that the last time. I don't want to go there, though. I mean, I don't want to go there. We already know the CONCACAF fiasco. That's without question. Gio Dos Santos in Major League Soccer. What does everybody back home in Mexico think about him playing here in MLS and playing for the L.A. Galaxy with the likes of Robbie Keane and Steven Gerrard?
They think Gio Santos is done, but, I mean, he has a lot of game.
They think he's done because he came to the U.S. to play in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, a lot of people think that, you know, believe it or not. You know,
jealous?
No, because they don't see – that's the thing. And, I mean, and we can agree with this. I mean, they think MLS is inferior. Even some people to the Mexican League, even – I mean, he played in Europe. He played in Villarreal. He played in Barcelona to come – to MLS is pretty much to say, you know what, I'm going to play two or three more years, and I'm set with my money and everything. And
well, but a little while ago, you told me that you thought Major League Soccer was better than Mexico.
Yes, but I mean, how old is Gio Dos Santos?
26.
He can play in Europe. He still can play in Europe. How old
more
is
more money thrown at him that
correct.
He couldn't turn the money back.
Okay, so how old is Gerard? How old is Pirlo? I mean, those guys, they play two more years. I mean, 39, 30, 40 years old.
Gentlemen, we have got to go. This could go on longer. We're going to have to do this real quick again, maybe next week or the week after. Naib Moran of ESPN FC, thank you so much, Naib,
thank
for
you, Glenn.
Coming in. I always enjoy conversations with you. Felipe Valenzuela of BN Sports, same with you.
Glenn, it is a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be with you again. I mean, Glenn is a pro, and sometimes we agree to disagree.
Great night of talk. Real quick reminder here before we go. Amigo Energy, it's never a bad time to think about your electricity provider. Amigo Energy is a new featured product for Soccer Matters listeners, and I can't thank Amigo Energy enough for their support of this program. With back to school over, it's time to get back to basics with Amigo Energy. It's the Basics 24-month program, Amigo Energy Basic 24, no minimum usage fee, no customer service or payment fee, just great low rates. AmigoEnergy.com/Soccer Matters. AmigoEnergy.com/Soccer Matters. Sign up for Basics 24. You can also call 888-995-9299. 888-995-9299. If you sign up now, you get two tickets to the Dynamo Santos match while supplies last. Thanks to Bud Light. Bud Light, again, remind you that they are the great supporters of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Bud Light says get down to BBVA Compass Stadium, take in international soccer, take in the Dynamo. Bud Light reminds you, get down there to BBVA Compass Stadium, see the game live. Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens. If you're watching games this weekend, it's Bar Munich, it's the gorgeous Gale, and our thanks to Daspit Law Firm and Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. We're going to do an interview with Giles Barnes. We got one with Owen Coyle. We're going to talk about FC Dallas's transition game and how did the Dynamo defend it? Because, by the way, had some trouble with one Vicente Sanchez of the Colorado Rapids. It's a 7-Up break. It's a Bud Light break. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We continue to roll on here tonight in this next interview with Giles Barnes, brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light, I remind you to get down and catch the Houston Dynamo in action against Seattle. They've got the Sounders coming to town with Obafemi Martins and Clint Dempsey. Also, Santos Laguna, the champions of Mexico, will come and play the Dynamo here in about 8 days. But the Dynamo up next at FC Dallas Sunday. Bud Light, again, remind you, get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Bud Light reminds you, be a participant on Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Get in the game. Have an opinion. Have a take. Our thanks to Bud Light. And with that, we bring in Giles Barnes. Giles, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Anytime, Glenn. Anytime.
You know, I'm a guy who travels a lot, and I know you're a guy that travels a lot, and both of us have dogs. So what do we do with our dogs when we go? Now, I call you today, and as we're doing this interview, you're getting your dog situated before you head up to FC Dallas. Tell us what type of dog you have, because I know I got dog lovers who listen to this show.
Yeah, I've got a little Staffordshire Bull Terrier. His name's Leo. I've had him for 7-8 years now. So I actually brought him over from England when I came to Houston. But, you know, he stays with my friend, Will, who's one of my best friends in Houston. And he looks after him whilst I'm away, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, tell me about this guy, because he did the transatlantic flight. So that's how did he handle that? Did he do okay?
Yeah, he was actually okay. He came a little bit later than me, actually. But when I picked him up from, you know, the kind of immigration bit where they all get like, they come back to you, he was really excited. And yeah, he's loving Houston as well as me.
Yeah, how's he handle the heat here?
Yeah, it's actually a lot better for me, actually. When I was walking him in England, it takes him a good few hours to get tired, you know. Now it's a quick 10-minute brisk and he's done for the day.
But that's important, right? Because, I mean, like my dog, if I don't give it exercise every day, that's like, that's functional for this dog.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for his breed as well. He's very active. So I have to make sure that he's doing his thing. And it keeps them out of my hair as well.
All right, so that's our pet update here with Giles Barnes. Now we're going to head into FC Dallas because this is a team that the Dynamo need a result against. It's a derby match. It's a derby match on a weekend where Liverpool's playing Everton. There's a lot of derbies going on around the world. I think that's kind of cool. But let's talk about what is needed up in Dallas on the road, because this is a team that's very good in transition.
Yeah, but the main thing that's needed is 3 points. You know, I don't care how we get it. It can be as ugly as possible. And that's going to be part of what we've got to do. We've got to make the game compact. We've got to stay strong in our defensive lines and defensive shape, because they are a counter-attacker team. So you've got to be ready for what they've got. You know, they've got great players on their team. They've got one of the most explosive players in the league, in my opinion, in Castillo. So we've got to make sure we keep him quiet. And, you know, that all starts from us defending from the front, you know, whoever's playing up top and setting the tone of the game.
Yeah, talk about Fabian Castillo, because he just got called up to Colombia, which I think is a great, great, you know, example of MLS. And Colombia's number 4 in the world. He's called in. He's an attacking player. But this is a guy now that really has matured over the last couple of years. I know you've noticed that.
Yeah, I definitely have. I remember seeing him play in a few reserve team games. And, you know, even then you could tell he had great ability. But he seemed to put the whole package together this year and, you know, last year as well. But especially this year, he stood out for me. He's exciting to watch. He's the kind of player that I like to watch. You know, and I think he's got big in the future.
He's Dynamo striker Giles Barnes joining us here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Giles, let's speak a little bit about you and Will Bruun's partnership and the 3-2 win that you guys just pulled off against Colorado. And it was a night where, you know, speaking of maturing, I just think Will Bruun has really jumped a couple of notches this year from a leadership standpoint, performance standpoint. He just seems a more difficult player to play against.
I do too, you know, and that's a credit to him and a credit to Owen for putting in the time with him, but mostly for Will for accepting it and taking it on, you know. The saying is you can take a horse to water, but it doesn't have to drink, you know. And Will's a very intelligent human off the pitch as well as on it. And he's taken every little bit of information that people have given him. And it for me, he's been really good, you know. His hold-up play has been brilliant. His awareness, I think he's got quicker this year. He's stronger. So everything that he's worked hard for in the off-season and, you know, during the season, it's come to light. And I'm really, really happy for him because he's a great guy.
Yeah, and he's really led the way. And there were guys actually bouncing off him in that game. That tackle that led to great opportunity. And then I think he ran over St. Ledger, basically.
Yeah, he's so powerful. Strong. People don't realize, you know, he's a thick set dude. But because he's actually pretty mobile, people don't notice. And he's got a lot of strength and power when he gets going. And that is a big part of his game.
The hold up game you mentioned, what I thought was essential that he had to add this element and improve that element of his game, and it seems to me he has this year.
Yeah, for sure, and especially because we play the one up front. You know, we play as a one striker with a five in midfield. So for that one, they have to be able to hold the ball up and, you know, take a lot of the battering that certain people don't really like, you know. But he's done it fantastically, you know. He brings the ball down, he shields the ball, he wins free kicks, he wins flick-ons, he works tirelessly. So as I said, I'm so happy for him that he's having the year that he's having.
He's Giles Barnes joining us here on ESPN 97.5. This is Soccer Matters. By the way, get over to our Facebook page, Soccer Matters. Like us, friend us. We got a lot of conversation going on over there. We put photos up of guys like Giles Barnes and Dynamo players, Premier League. It's all over there. We talk about it. You know, it's a tough position in that lone striker role because you do play a large portion of games with your back to goal.
Yeah, you do. You know, I play it for Jamaica, so I know exactly how it is. You got to try and link people. You're taking a lot of beatings, you know, and obviously when it comes to it, you've got to be the one that tries to provide that goal as well because you are playing as a striker. But his as I said, his hold-up play and his back-to-goal play has been brilliant for me, especially over the last, you know, kind of 8-10 games. I think you've really seen how good he's been.
Giles, as a lone striker, when you are in that role, and you are coming back to receive the ball and hold the game up, is it essential, though, that you balance that with some runs where you spin off and look for the ball from behind just to kind of plant that in the mind of some of these center backs?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, you have to run in behind as well because you have to mix your game up. And that's the big thing about it, you know. And Will does that very well. You can chuck balls to him into his feet, into his chest. And you can also throw the one down the channel. You know, we've seen for my goal, actually, the ball was held up to him. He hit it down the line and chased it himself, you know, and then the intelligence and movement that he had to see me and pick me out. So it was that's all you need to know about Will right now.
How important was that goal for you at this stage of the year?
Yeah, it was nice to be back on the score sheet. You know, I think obviously me and you have had the conversation. I played pretty this year with us playing the kind of lone striker. So goals are a big part of my game. You know, I've been up there for the last 2-3 years. So it's nice. Goals always make you feel a little bit better as well.
Giles Barnes joining us here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. How about you? You looked to me as though in the last two games you felt better physically and you looked a little bit fresher to me.
Yeah, you know, I kind of felt it coming back in the Vancouver game that we had at home. And then the last game, I felt it coming back. You know, it's been a long year for me. You know, a lot of travel, a lot of games, highs, you know, of competition football, winning games, lows of being knocked out, you know. Coming back with a Dynamo as well. It's been a long year, you know. But I always want to make myself available for selection. You know, everyone knows I've had Achilles tendonitis as well for the last couple of months. But, you know, I want to play every single game. I want to help my team do well. So maybe sometimes you should, you know, take yourself off of it a little bit. But I just want to keep on playing. So, yeah, the rest is important. And I think I'm just about getting there again.
All right, Giles, I'm going to take us into the ugly side of football. And I know people and opponents have known that you have tendonitis. Do you get the sense some people tried to kick you there on purpose? Get into the nuts and bolts of the professional game.
I feel I've been brought down a lot this year, not just with Achilles tendonitis, but, you know, just in general. You know, I feel when I get going, I'm getting clipped from different angles and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's not really for people to know that I've got Achilles tendonitis. Sorry, actually, someone's pretty funny. My dog's actually running to the middle of the road.
Well, that's not good, Giles. You got him on a leash or what? Is there a leash law over there?
I say the middle of the road. We're outside the apartment complex, and, you know, the people are trying to pull in, and he's obviously smelt something that smelled at the tree that's taken his liking, and he was walking over there, so I just had to pull him off.
Hey, well, let me ask you a question. Does he know a lot of commands? Do you got him doing a lot of commands? What does he know how to do?
He knows sit, he knows roll, he knows left paw, right paw.
Nice.
Kiss, if someone asks for a kiss, he'll lick your face. So there's a few little ones for you.
You've done some work with him.
Yeah, I had him, obviously, since he was 8 weeks old. And he actually used to come with me everywhere, you know, when I was coming back from injury and rehab, like he'd be my running partner.
Yeah.
So there's a cool little story with me and this guy.
Well, you know, the connection's huge, and just the loyalty factor and those types of things. I'm sure you've had moments where you just shook your head and go, that animal just did something amazing.
Yeah, there's been a few of those times, you know, when you need a little pick-me-up, and he just comes over and puts his nose in your face or something. That's exactly what you need, without saying anything, you know.
Yep.
He comes and laying on the sofa, and he'll come and try and give me a hug, which is pretty funny. He actually literally tries to put his paw on your chest and bury his nose in between like your arm. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Let's continue on with were there moments this year, you know, coming back from your work with Jamaica in the Copa America and the Gold Cup where you're sitting in front of your locker going, man, I don't know if I can get it. I don't know if I can do it tonight.
No, you know, from a never from a mental point of view, because as I said, I always want to play. You know, sometimes physically it's been hard to pick yourself up. You know, when you're feeling certain things, when your body's tired, you've been traveling, it's games in quick succession, but that's the profession we live in. So you just have to try and pick yourself up and get as mentally prepared as possible. But it has been a long year.
Mauro Diaz, great playmaker for FC Dallas. I think they're a different team when he's on the field. Fabian Castillo. These are two players that obviously are playmakers that can make plays, think plays. Vicente Sanchez was similar to that. I thought he was outstanding against the Dynamo. I thought he was a danger literally every time he had the ball. So how do you take the edge off of Diaz and Castillo? Because these two guys are guys that can change the course of a match.
Yeah, I think Castillo's a little bit harder to handle because he's got electric pace. You know, but if you can cut off the supply line for him, and I think that starts with Diaz. I feel if you can get tied to him, you know, we've got people in the middle of the park that can get tied to people, you know, the likes of Ricardo Clark, Luis Garrido, Rashid Olubayi. Those people can get tied to and make games really uncomfortable for playmakers. So I think if we can get that supply line cut off, we can nullify that.
All right, Giles, listen, you're a great man. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Take care of that dog, and we wish you the best of luck up in Dallas against FC Dallas. We'll make that Frisco, Texas, because you're halfway to Oklahoma.
Nice one, Glenn. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Giles. That's Giles Barnes. We'll take a break here. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 rolls on. It's a Dynamo FC Dallas, 4 o'clock Central Time, ESPN 2 this Sunday.
PN 97.5. I don't even want to have the time. If this is really what it's like to let go, it was all in my brain. It's something living in the house tomorrow. Cause you don't even want to have a face. Would it be if I refused to give up? It was all in my way. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight we're going to wrap it up in style here on ESPN 97.5. Each and every week I get a great opportunity to dig into it with the manager of the Houston Dynamo, Owen Coyle. And this interview brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your tickets. You got the Seattle Sounders coming to town with Clint Dempsey. You've also got Santos of Mexico. So, Bud Light, we thank you for your support of soccer on the radio. And again, Bud Light reminds you, get down to the beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium, catch the Dynamo in action, and get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Thank you very much, Bud Light. And with that, thank you very much, Owen Coyle, for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, Glenn. Always lovely to chat with you, as you know.
Well, let's get right into it, because you're coming off two very good wins at home, a big rivalry match with FC Dallas, and I know you've come to learn the rivalry with Houston and Dallas very fast, haven't you?
Well, very much so, and to be fair, I love that type of thing. Obviously, back home, we have many local derbies, as you call it, and by local, I mean, you know, there's clubs like 10 miles apart and really intense rivalry, so it's nice that we have the rivalry within the MLS. We had it last week as well, because I think, you know, the rivalry between, you know, certainly Houston and Sporting Kansas, so, you know, I certainly love that type of atmosphere, and hopefully that's the case on Sunday.
For you as a manager, and I'm going to take your manager and player, as a manager, what was the biggest rivalry match you were involved with, or derby match, prior to coming to Major League Soccer?
Well, I think for the nature of the intensity, I think Burnley and Blackburn is a huge derby match. Obviously, growing up in Glasgow, the biggest one there, and it's probably, even in the world, it's probably the biggest, is Glasgow Celtic and Glasgow Rangers. That's an incredible derby match for so many different reasons, and it goes back in history and everything else in terms of social upbringing and religion and everything else, which really shouldn't be a part of our game, but that's, you know, that's why that rivalry is so intense. But certainly Burnley and Blackburn, I mean, they're something like 7 miles apart, and the rivalry, it's incredible, it's intense. But that's what makes our game special. When you have those rivalries, when you have those great moments, the teams that are really competitive with each other, obviously within a league, but knowing for their own bragging rights as such. And obviously we now have the Texas derby with FC Dallas.
Oh, and I go back to Rangers and Celtic, which, as you mentioned, is one of the most intense and for a variety of reasons. Do you think the religious aspect of that has dissipated, you know, in the last 10 years, or has that still remained very alive?
Well, I would hope that it is, because for me, you know, we love our teams, you know, we love our soccer, obviously, in football, as we call it back home, but there are certain parts, elements that really shouldn't creep into the game, and for me, that was always one. But I mean, that goes way back over 100 years in history, and further back than that. I'm hoping that it is, you know, the people see common sense and realise this is a sporting arena, and really that's what it should be about. It should be about the sporting ethic and the quality on show, and really nothing else. So I think it's getting a little bit less, but you always know, Glenn, you know, there's always, whether there's a minority or not, you know, the ones that want to be heard will ultimately be heard. And but I would hope that it's starting to really, I would hope, you know, lessen as opposed to get greater.
He's Dynamo manager Owen Coyle. Now, how about as a player? What was the biggest derby you were in? Oh, was it Which was the biggest derby you were in?
Well, again, in Scotland, I mean, obviously, I played in the Dundee derby, Dundee United v Dundee. And in England, at Bolton, although it wasn't, you know, Manchester United, Manchester City's a fierce rivalry, but Bolton and Manchester United, that again goes back to the 50s, and they had a real intense dislike for each other, should I say. So that was a huge, I mean, any game against Manchester United was a huge game. But the added significance of the fact that, you know, Bolton and Manchester were only 20 miles apart, that certainly added to a huge derby game as well, a huge rivalry. So I certainly enjoyed a couple of those occasions. But the derbies are great games as long as you win.
You know what I like going about this weekend is I like the fact that the Dynamo are in a derby match, yet around the world there's a ton of great ones. The Merseyside derby, Liverpool and Everton.
Yeah.
We've got a great matchup. I don't know if it's considered a derby, but it's Arsenal and Manchester United. Then you've also got Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. So isn't it important for us to group, you know, and attach ourselves to kind of the global game and say, hey, we got our derby this weekend, just like Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid?
Yeah, I think, again, Glenn, we're very fortunate. We're involved in a league that's really on the up and up and becoming globally one of the best leagues in the world. And I think it's nice that we can kind of, you know, enhance that derby feel for, like, if you want. I mean, we obviously have, if you look within the league, you know, New York City and New York Red Bulls, you know, it doesn't get much better than that, you know, two teams operating in the same city. And that's really where most of the derbies come from, as you know, Glenn, through your own career. That's where the competitive added spice, because what you get then is you get two sets of supporters. They live in the same city, but they work with each other and everything else, but they support different teams. So it's absolutely brilliant. And with an MLS, we have a few of those, but equally with ourselves, you're right. The Texas Derby, ourselves in Dallas, we obviously have a fierce rivalry, as you know, now with Sporting Kansas. So I think the more of that we have within our league, it can certainly add to the excitement and the edge. And that's what we want. We want it to be exciting games. We want everybody, the fans, to feel involved. And we want to have that edge as well to the league. And I think those derby matches can help to do that.
Yeah, when I do my job, I always want to attach the Dynamo to what's going on in the world game, because I think it's important for people to just sort of get reminded that we are a part of what is a very global community. Let's focus on FC Dallas. It's obviously a team that's got some athleticism, it's got pace, it's got youth, it's got Fabian Castillo, who just got called up to Colombia, it's got Mauro Diaz, a playmaker. Talk about the opponent.
Well, I mean, out with everything that you've already said, there's no doubt they're a quality side. That's a team they've been building for years now, as you know, invested, you know, some decent finance in younger players. You mentioned the Castillos, and they've terrific, some homegrown players coming through as well that adds to the mix. But, you know, in terms of the attacking threat, I mean, from Blas Perez, Teixeira, Akindele, Barrios, Diaz, Castillo. I mean, they brought the Argentinian midfielder boy in as well, Crigliani. So they have some fantastic pieces. You know, very good side, Lloyd at the back, Hedges. You go through the team, I think they're packed with real quality and a very good side. And yet, for all that, Glenn, they sit 6 points above us after everything we've been through this season. So it tells you, as far as I'm concerned, we know we've got good pieces of Houston Dynamo. We know when we have our best fit and available, we can go toe-to-toe with the best. And we are continuing to build the team as we go forward. So we know moving forward this year and into next, we're going to have an even better team again. But the important thing from Sunday, just when we've mentioned the aforementioned players, that we try and nullify their threat. But equally, we look to impose ourselves in the game. We get the Will Bruins, the Gerard Barnes, the Brad Davis, Lionel Mirandas, the quality that we've got, and who have been playing very well, as you mentioned, in the last couple of games back-to-back. We get them in the ball, and we look to cause Dallas one or two problems. So we're going there and being very respectful of them, knowing they're an outstanding team. But we're going there to try and win this game, Glenn. It's as simple as that. We're going to look to be positive from the start and try and take the game to Dallas, and we'll see where we go from there.
You mentioned a couple of players. Let's go through them. It looks like Giles Barnes kind of got a bit of a second wind, didn't he?
Well, what it is, I mean, Glenn, it's not rocket science to understand. When, prior to the Copa America, Giles Barnes, for me, was in the top four or five players in the league. You know, there's no doubt about that. The form he was in, the pace, the power. And he went to both tournaments, the Copa America, the Gold Cup, And he got battered and bruised, there's no doubt about it, the travelling, everything else. And since he came back, he's been stop-starting with little niggle injuries, Achilles and his quad and different things. So what we did is purposely the last couple of weeks, we've just, you know, more or less taken him out of training to slow it down and look to get that freshness back in. He showed it, you know, in the Vancouver game when we won at home. and then again a little bit niggly. So we managed to, I felt, get him in good shape. He looked good in training last week in the build-up to the game, the light training that he did, and we felt we were going to get a spark from him. I've got to say, he was wonderfully complimented by Will Brown. I think Will Brown's been terrific for certainly for myself and the team this year. And he never scored last week, but for me, Glenn, it was actually Will Brown's best individual game in terms of everything that was asked of him, what he did for the team. And it sounds daft because he never scored, but I thought that was his best performance for me this year.
Yeah, we said on the broadcast that we thought he was the influence in this game. And you know, he was a man's man in this game. People were bouncing off him. We just saw this insatiable appetite to succeed and not be denied. And then, you know, we add in some great footballing moments from him. And, boy, he just really, to me, has jumped exponentially up the ladder this year. I think from a maturity standpoint, a leadership standpoint, it's been spectacular to watch.
Well, I think you're right, and I think again he's certainly, you know, Will is certainly developing as a player. If I look now from the outside, and I know Will scored goals over the years for the Dynamo and did well within that, but we've asked a different kind of role from him, and what he's done now from the start of the season to where he is now, he's improved. No doubt about it, as a player, you know, as a real team player. He now can bring you up the park, as you mentioned, take the ball in, can be physical, knock people about, lay people in. And he's showing, now with that maturity, he's showing for me a soccer intelligence in terms of what's required within the team framework. And that's great to see. And again, I look through the team because when we came in, we said that we're going to try to look to improve the players, to try to improve the team. And that's what we're doing. We knew it was going to take Tiny Bed in. If you look, I would argue with anybody that Tyler Derrick's a far better goalkeeper now than when he started the season. Will Brown's a far better player now. Young Lionel Miranda, boys like this that look to improve all the time. And that's got to be the way forward. They've got to look to continue to improve the individual player so that they bring it within the team framework. And we add a few pieces as we go to get a team that's representative of the Dynamo and their fans.
All right, so that was part one with Owen Coyle. Stay with us. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back with part two of Owen Coyle.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
He's the manager of the Houston Dynamo. He's Owen Coyle, the Dynamo ahead of a huge game on Sunday. This is 4 o'clock Central Time. It's a game you can catch on ESPN2. It is a derby match, it's a rivalry match, it's FC Dallas and the Dynamo. It's huge for the Dynamo, and of course, I'm sure you, Owen, as well as many of us, will have our eyes on Portland and Sporting Kansas City tomorrow in San Jose, Vancouver.
Yeah, again, I mean, I think we're all the same. We probably everybody had eyes on it last week, and fair play to Portland. They obviously get a great result at Columbus when a lot of people would have felt, I certainly did, that Columbus Crew were capable of winning that game. But when all said and done, and I've said this to the players, whatever everybody else does, then that's going to happen anyway. We just have to look after our own business. And that means, again, going to Dallas, a tough game, of course it is, but a game I truly believe, if we're at our best, a game that we can win. So we've got to have the mindset that we go for that. Obviously, the results tomorrow will let us know exactly the position we're in, but it counts for nothing anyway if we don't go and win at Dallas. So that's what we have to focus on.
Owen, you know, some of the contact now that you've had, that we've been gotten into this season this deep now at this point, what have some of your friends that now are paying attention more to the league back overseas, now that you're involved with the league? I would assume there's some people that, you know, are really keeping an eye on Owen Coyle and the league and what's going on. What's some of the feedback you get? Because, you know, over here we're always looking to measure MLS with everything else that goes on in the world, and maybe we do that too much. But it also is interesting to get the thoughts of others from around the world.
No, absolutely. And it makes sense because it's like anything else. You want to know as much as we're looking. You know, as you say, you know, from people within the US have probably admired the Premier League or La Liga for many years. You want to know what those leagues now are thinking about with our product in MLS. And I've got to say, everything's been very positive, Glenn, because the games, as you know, are now screened back home in the UK and through Europe in China. I mean, this is now a global product. As a matter of fact, our game against Dallas is a live game on Sky on Sunday evening. Sunday night is there'll be 10 o'clock over there. So that's a live game on Sky in terms of the UK. So there's no doubt what we're getting in terms of the profile. It's on the up. And the other thing that's pleasing is that, you know, when people I believe are good judges watch the game and they'll come and they'll say, well, I really like this or that about the league and this player and that player and the team's improving. But you know that as well, Glenn, because every year the Premier League teams are coming to the US because they know they're getting a real testing environment for the pre-season to prepare them for the Premier League. So that, and obviously the top Spanish teams, all the top teams in Europe are now coming to the US in the pre-season because they know it's getting better, the infrastructure is fantastic, the soccer-specific stadiums. So I think globally we're getting a great rapport, we're getting a great reputation, and long may that continue.
Owen Coyle joining us here on ESPN 97.5. You know, when they do that commentary over there, do they take American announcers or do they have British announcers on those games that are following the league inside and out?
Yeah, well, it's a very valid point. Like, I'll tell you what, who I have noticed. I'm with Spenny, John Spencer, who we all know as a mother. We played together in Motherwell. Well, actually, I don't know if you're aware of this, but myself and Spenny actually grew up in the same area in Glasgow in the Gorbals. So I was a few years older, so we've known each other since we were kids. But I've heard Spenny call in a couple of games. He's back over in London now. So what they do is they're very, you know, they're clever people back home, as you know. They have people calling the game and somebody maybe analysing it who's had the experience of the league and the players. So they're giving balance to it and they're knowledgeable. And I think that helps our game as well in terms of when people are listening to it, they're understanding everything involved. So it makes sense the way to do it.
Owen, how about a couple of keys from the Dynamo this weekend? I know you've had a successful lineup set up here the last two games. You don't have to reveal that, but talk about a few things that need to happen for the Houston Dynamo when you guys go up to Frisco, Texas.
Yeah, well, there's two big things within the game. When we obviously be looking to penetrate and be attacking, we have to take care of that ball. And the two really tie into the one, because if we take care of the ball, we will be able to give Dallas problems. If our passing's clean and we're moving as we do, we've scored, as you know, three goals last week, could have been six or seven. But we're in danger all the time against Sporting Kansas, that goal threat. But we have to take care of the ball, because if we don't, Dallas, for me, are probably the best team in the league in the quick transition, because obviously the Barrios, the Castillos, the Diaz, they're pace to burn. Teixeira and Dele up front, they're loaded with pace and they like to go quickly in the counter-attack. So the two things really tie into the one, Glenn. Us taking care of the ball when we're in the attack. Because when we are set against the ball, we always have a good shape against us. We just have to make sure as soon as we've lost our transition, we're back in quickly and we've got a nice shape and we're tight and difficult to play against. Because if you give Dallas space, they can certainly exploit it. Because they're a very good side, there's no getting away from it.
Owen, let's talk about the transition game, because it's that vital 2 or 3 seconds what a team of 11 does in order to nullify that. So is it, you know, once the ball is lost, is it getting immediate pressure on the ball and forcing a negative pass? What are some of the elements that got to happen to have a good transition game? And obviously, the brains have got to be very sharp.
Well, they have, and I think that's it. It's that focus, that concentration. And even, you know, if, for example, Glenn, when we are coming out of the ball in the middle third, then the defenders have got to be tuned in. They've got to understand where the Castillo, where these players are, in case that turnover is quick. Because if you let them drift off you and they turn over it quickly, then, of course, the ball immediately flies to their open player and then they have pace to run at you. So we have to make sure as we are moving out and passing, moving the ball, we're all focused and concentrated, knowing where our opponent is. If it's turned over, we're in a position to engage. As you mentioned, look to press quickly. Because if you give them a head of steam, then they've shown that they can get running at people and cause problems. But, I mean, it's set for a great matchup. I think it's two very positive teams. We all know that, we've got to go and get a positive result and set us up for these last two games. And that's what we look to do. We want to go there and we want to win a tough match. And we're capable of doing it.
Well, Owen, listen, we wish you the best of luck. And again, thank you again for being so candid this week and so open with our listeners.
It's a pleasure, Glenn. And obviously, being the game in Dallas, we'll take a good support through there as we did the last time. And yeah. I want to thank them for that in advance, because it means the world to the players to know, you know, the Dynamo fans behind them, they're supporting them. And, we're very fortunate to have, for me, such wonderful fans. And all of us throw that support and keep it going.
Owen, thank you very much. Good luck against FC Dallas.
Cheers, Brian. Take care.
All right. We wrapped it up in big style here tonight on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 with Owen Coyle. Some great stuff there, talking about rivalry and then the transition game against FC Dallas. Not one to miss. It's 4 o'clock Sunday if you're not making the trip up I-45 to Dallas. That'll wrap it up tonight here for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Thank you for tuning in. Owen, great job.
Cheers, bud. I learned everything my brain was taught. Do I really belong in this game? I pondered. I just want to play my part. Should I make waves or not? So back and forth in my brain, the tug of war wages on. Now I don't want to seem ungrateful or disrespect the art form I was raised upon. But sometimes you got to take a loss and have people rub it in your face before you get made pissed off. And keep plugging. It's your only outlet and your only outfit. So you know they're going to talk about it. Better find a way to counter it quick and make it. Ah. I feel like I've already said this a kabillion.